And a good morning. I'm Craig Adams, along with Matt Douglas, in for Bruce Van Dyke today as we continue on into the 8 o'clock hour. Glad you are with us. And if you're on the road this morning, be careful out there. A lot of standing water. We've had a couple of minor fender benders again on the freeway, so be careful as you travel down I-90 and 480 over to 77. Did you know so far this year more than 70 Lorain County residents have died of accidental drug overdoses? That's pretty much double, maybe more than double, from a year ago. What's going on? We thought we'd check in with Elaine Jorgis from the Alcohol and Drug Addiction Services Board of Lorain County to find out the story. Elaine, thanks for being with us this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So, if those numbers are correct, we assume they are, what is going on?
Well, we're in the middle of an epidemic. Particularly, everybody talks about heroin and prescription drugs, which are really creating a crisis in Lorain County. And the number of 70, we're about 2 deaths a week now in Lorain County for overdoses due to heroin, prescription drugs, now seeing cocaine and fentanyl.
Do we have any idea why those numbers have jumped dramatically over the past year?
Primarily, the jump is from fentanyl coming into our communities. It's a manufactured substance. But Ohio is in the top 5 of deaths nationwide for overdoses. This trend started in 2013. Previously, our Lorain County coroner saw about 22 accidental overdose deaths. In 2013, it jumped up to 60. We've been around 60 for the last 3 years, and we're well over 80, probably at 120 plus this year.
Let's talk for a moment about fentanyl, since that seems to be one of the newer hot items, so to speak. Is it something that people seek out? Is it something that dealers add to something else to sort of raise their stock, I suppose you'd say? What is it? What's the mix there?
Well, first of all, a person who's addicted to any drug, in 2011, we've learned from the American Society of Addiction Medicine, addiction is a chronic disease. So a person may have been prescribed just a prescription medication for pain, or an injury or a wisdom tooth being pulled out. The medications that started were OxyContin or Vicodin or Percocet. Again, honestly prescribed from a physician for pain management. What happens is if the doses were so high, they're at a point where they can become addictive. And we know that 4 out of 5 heroin users started with prescription medications. So when the prescriptions are no longer available, they often turn to, you know, maintaining the addiction through heroin and now fentanyl, which is now a man-made substance. You know, it's I believe, from what I hear from the law enforcement, that they're putting it in more as a, I guess I would say, to stretch the product, as well as for the high and for the effect, I believe. But I don't believe that any addict is actually seeking out the fentanyl, which is what is one of the causes of the death.
And so people might be taking a drug illegally, and that's added to it. They don't know it.
Correct.
And then you have an overdose.
Correct.
Tough situation.
Yes,
tough.
It is.
So what can the Alcohol and Drug Addiction Services Board do about it?
Well, this year, for the first time ever, since our board has been around since 1989, we have primarily relied on state and federal funding to contract for treatment and prevention services. The funding to Lorain County and all counties have dwindled significantly in a time where we have more need now than ever. We have waiting lists. We average about 12 to 15 people who are assessed in our community providers that can benefit from the first level of treatment, which is a detox. We have capacity right now to serve about 60 people, and that number shows that we should serve about 600 in a detox setting.
Elaine, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the community. So often I think you look at these things and you think, well, it's the drug dealer, it's the drug user, but it affects so much more than that. It spreads into the community and things start to kind of deteriorate in that way, don't they?
Absolutely. And this is the heroin of now and the opiate addiction is not like the heroin of the 70s. Mm-hmm. In the 70s, it was more an urban issue. This is happening in every one of our zip codes, in our rural communities, our cities, and our suburban areas. It affects the individual, the families, and it affects employers and our safety forces. I mean, our safety forces are doing a wonderful job, the best they can with their resources to try to stem the trafficking. But also they're the significant providers of Narcan, which is trying to save some lives, but often unsuccessful due to the fentanyl that's coming in our communities.
I was at a community forum sponsored by State Senator Gail Manning of North Ridgeville, her son, State Rep Nathan Manning. You were one of the featured speakers. And one thing, a number of points were emphasized that night by law enforcement officials. And they said usually the users, or the dealers rather, the dealers are not users. In a sense, they're the smart ones. They know not to take what they're making or selling. And so it's an ongoing battle to stop it up front, and you're helping to, I guess, a little further down the road to help people?
This is a community partnership. You know, law enforcement needs to stem the tide of drugs coming into our community and, you know, arrest and then send to the justice system to handle the criminal aspect of drug dealing in our communities. We're here as the safety net. So for people that become addicted, we need to have treatment for them. And the way the opiate addiction is now, if they're ready for help, they need help right now. It's unfair for us to say, we're here to help you, but you have to wait 3 weeks for your first treatment episode. Because the addiction is so strong, it takes over their mindset, and they'll often go to use while they're waiting, possibly because of the craving that the drug has over their system. And that's often when an overdose and possibly a death could occur.
That night at the forum, a young woman spoke who had been in and out of treatment a couple times. Talk a little bit about how difficult it is, how addicting those drugs can be.
It's a lifetime struggle. You know, when an opiate's in your system, I mean, it attacks your brain and your decision making, and it's a craving unlike no other. It's, you know, heroin is, you know, 10 to 15 times more powerful than other drugs. And so it just consumes your body and your lifestyle. So treatment has to be individualized. You know, we've got to look at how much drugs are being used, how long, the frequency, and figuring out a course that meets the individuals and looking at where they live at night. You know, we've got to offer them a safe housing scenario while we're working with them in treatment. So it's a long-term struggle, but recovery is possible if we can connect them into treatment and help them change their behaviors.
And what about the education component for young people, maybe in schools?
That is as critical as treatment. We know that 9 out of 10 people with substance problems started using before age 18. And a part of the issue we know also is that the adolescent brain is not fully developed till age 25. So we've got to teach our young people that any illegal substance they put into their body has chances for substance abuse problems later in their life.
You mentioned that this goes outside of the urban area, and I think that's so important for people to recognize that it's just not in one particular area. It spreads into the suburbs. It spreads into the cities. Is that something you guys try and teach as you go to these talks?
Absolutely. And in fact, we've surveyed our students every 2 years through the Pride Survey. And one of the things our kids told us is when they use prescription drugs, they're using them on weekends at homes. And so we need to educate our community members about, you know, what that means. So telling them to lock up their medications or drop them off at a turn-in day. And there are six really amazing community task forces in our county, and they're really the core in each community to do the education. So we need to educate our family members, our medical prescribers, and our students.
Elaine, thank you so much for coming in today, sharing what you do, your background, your story. And this is issue number 35. We've seen the signs all across mm-hmm. Lorain County. It's a five-year, $1.2 mil levy, and it would cost the owner of a $100,000 home about $42 a year. So those are the nuts and bolts, but beyond the nuts and bolts, we're talking about human lives and the numbers just aren't good right now.
Right.
Yeah. Again, thank you so much for coming in. Elaine Jorgis from the Alcohol and Drug Addiction Services Board of Lorain County, here on AM 930 WEOL.